ask David King to come up and read this morning's scripture. Ask to dismiss the King's kids. Since you are with us still, we'll let you little people run downstairs. And then if you want to turn to Joshua chapter 4.
Okay.
All right. Joshua chapter 4. I just want to pray real quick before we read and give a pray for the kids that are going down and also for us to really hear the word of the Lord this morning. Father, thanks so much for today. God, we want to give you glory and thanks that we're able to gather here and worship you in this place, Lord. God, we thank you for the kids and the children that are here. And as they go down tonight, God, bless their teachers, Lord. Give them words of encouragement and love just to share with the kids. And God, just bless the kids today. And Father, as we open your word, we ask that you'll soften our hearts, God, that you'll open our ears and our minds so that we can hear from you, God. Thank you for Todd and the way that you've brought him and used him already here since he's been here in June. But God, we pray that it wouldn't be him that we would hear today, but we would hear from you, Lord. So, God, we surrender to you today. We love you and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Joshua chapter 4. When all the nation had finished passing over the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, "Take 12 men from the people, from each tribe a man, and command them, saying, 'Take 12 stones from here, out of the midst of the Jordan, from the very place where the priest's feet stood firmly, and bring them over with you, and lay them down in the place where you lodge tonight.' Then Joshua called the 12 men from the people of Israel, whom he had appointed, a man from each tribe. And Joshua said to them, 'Pass on before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan, and take up each of you a stone upon his shoulder, according to the number of tribes of the people of Israel, that this may be a sign among you. When your children ask in time to come, what do these stones mean to you? Then you shall tell them the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it passed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. So these stones shall be to the people of Israel a memorial forever.' And the people of Israel did just as Joshua commanded and took up 12 stones out of the midst of the Jordan, according to the number of the tribes of the people of Israel, just as the Lord told Joshua. And they carried them over with them to the place where they lodged and laid them down there. And Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of the Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant had stood, and they are there to this day. For the priests bearing the Ark stood in the midst of the Jordan until everything was finished that the Lord commanded Joshua to tell the people, according to all that Moses had commanded Joshua. The people passed over in haste, and when all the people had finished passing over, the ark of the Lord and the priests passed over before the people. The sons of Reuben and the sons of Gad and the half-tribe of Manasseh passed over armed before the people of Israel, as Moses had told them. About 40,000 were ready for war, passed over before the Lord for battle to the plains of Jericho. On that day, the Lord exalted Joshua in the sight of all Israel, and they stood in awe of him, just as they had stood in awe of Moses all the days of his life. And the Lord said to Joshua, "Command the priests bearing the Ark of the Testimony to come up out of the Jordan." So Joshua commanded the priests, "Come up out of the Jordan." And when the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord came up from the midst of the Jordan, and the soles of the priests' feet were lifted up on dry ground, the waters of the Jordan returned to their place and overflowed all its banks as before. The people came up out of the Jordan on the 10th day of the first month, and they encamped at Gilgal on the east border of Jericho. And those 12 stones which they took out of the Jordan, Joshua set up at Gilgal. And he said to the people of Israel, "When your children ask their fathers in time to come, 'What do these stones mean?' then you shall let your children know, 'Israel passed over this Jordan on dry ground, for the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan for you until you passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up for us until we passed over.' so that all the peoples of the earth may know that the hand of the Lord is mighty, that you may fear the Lord your God forever.
Amen. Well, there's a lot going on this morning. And you will notice under your seats, there is a small white card. I have to ask our friends here from Israel, you can go ahead and pull that card out. You've been to see the Jordan River. I'm wondering, are these stones still there? I know they're not. But I just had to ask the question. We got to have lunch with them yesterday, and I hope that you will plan on staying after the service in order to have lunch with them today. The white cards are meant to represent exactly what has happened in the case of these stones. The stones are meant to be a memorial. So I'm giving you a heads up as we begin the sermon. The little cards are for you to think back to remember either two aspects of history. Your own personal history with the Lord would ask, think back. When did the Lord do something worth remembering in your life? When has he done something amazing, something that shocked you, something that blessed you? Because we need to record these things, that the purpose of those 12 stones in the middle of the Jordan was for a memorial. Now there's two of them, one in the middle of the Jordan and one on the bank. What are those representing? The Jordan crossing, the amazing thing that the Lord has done. So has God done something in your personal life? That's the first option. Or you can choose, if you have been here for a while, to remember something that the Lord has done in the life of Hope Church. Is there something that you saw, a miracle, something you want us to remember? Now, if we have the time, we might put all of this into a document so that we can remember it. So don't put any personal information that you don't want shared. But nonetheless, a way to remember, either for you personally today, something that the Lord has done in your life that you want to praise him for, or something in the life of this church that you want to remember. Now, underneath the rows here, we have some little green baskets. At the end of the sermon, we're going to pass those around, and you can drop those little cards right in that little basket. And then, hopefully, somewhere down the road, we'll have an opportunity to look back at the faithfulness of our God and praise him. So that's what those are for. As we look at our text for today, we see some amazing things that have happened. Now, last week, we got into chapter 3, which was the beginning of the Jordan crossing. And in a way, we got into the river and we got stuck there. Chapter 3 gets us into the river. Chapter 4 gets us out of the river. So we didn't leave you hanging too much, I hope. But in summarizing, the main points of the sermon today is basically two things. Remembering what God has done for you, and then repeating what God has done for you. Remembering and repeating. We want to remember what the Lord has done for us in the past, and we want to repeat it to the next generation, as Jenny read from Psalm 78. So remembering and repeating. Now, we had a little bit of a hint last week. I don't know if you caught it or not. Some of you said you've been reading through Joshua, and I would encourage you to join with us. Chapter 3, verse 12, the author gives us a little hint. He says there were 12 men that were appointed, but he tells us nothing of what they were appointed to do. So the suspense was there. I'm not sure if you caught it or not. We didn't have time to get into it last week, but then we get fully into it this week. So the two points, remembering what God has done in the past, then repeating what God has done. So that's the focus of the chapter, is this building of this memorial with the 12 stones that the men, as they pass through the Jordan, put up on their shoulder and carry on across and lay down. So God wants us to remember what happened at the Jordan. There's an intentional aspect here, which means this miracle is unique. It's not going to happen again, so we're going to put up a monument so we can remember this. So you can't expect Jordan crossings every day. I know sometimes we want God to do miraculous things. We want to see him do wonderful things, and we do, and we're praying for that. But in this instance, we know Joshua's saying, I want you to remember this. This is not going to happen all the time. So here we are. Remember what God has happened. He wants Israel to forever remember this miraculous crossing. He does not want them to forget what God has done. And we don't want you to forget what God has done either. We see this command in the first two verses, or verses 2 and 3. Take 12 men from the people, a man from each tribe, and command them, saying, take 12 stones out of the midst of the Jordan to the very place where the priest stood firmly, Bring them over with you and lay them down in the place where you lodge. Remembering is important. Deliverance through the raging waters. Remember that the Jordan was flooded at this time of the year. So that deliverance through those waters was important. But God is also saying, I don't want you to forget this. I'm going to deliver you, which is great. But I also want you to remember what God has done. We might say salvation is important in remembering when we were saved, but also equally important, God saved us, but we want to remember that he saved us. Dale Ralph Davis says this, the greatest enemy of faith may be forgetfulness. You remember what God has done for you? I mean, if you want to have a successful marriage, it begins with the wedding day, right? But isn't it also pretty important that you remember thereafter that you're married? God did something and began a work in your life, but also remember that work continues. So don't forget. The Lord wanted to get them safely into the promised land, but he did not want them to forget how he got them there. Therefore, he commanded them, set up a memorial with 12 stones, one from each tribe. God delivered the whole nation, not just one tribe. And you remember all the Gadites and the Reubenites and the half-tribe of Manasseh also went ahead. Their land was on one side, but yet together that nation was delivered, all of them together. And if you look in verse 8, they obeyed. God gave the command, and they obeyed. The people of Israel did just what Joshua commanded. They took up the 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, according to the number of the tribes of Israel, just as the Lord had told them. They carried them over, and they laid them down that night where they lodged. So, why do we have memorials? Memorials are important. The Lord wants us to remember the things that he's done. There are memorials all around us, don't we? We have national memorials. We have memorials here that we remember veterans and other people. And usually memorials commemorate some significant sacrifice, some great event, something that's important that we don't want to forget. In downtown, I'm new to this area, so we got on the duck tour. We took a little tour of downtown. And what I saw, there are 6 glass columns downtown that commemorate the 6 million Jews who suffered and died in the 1940s during World War II. We have memorials. At the beginning of the entrance of those pillars, in stone pavement, is the word, remember. You pass through all of those pillars, and at the very end is remember. God wants us to remember all that he has done. Also touring around in Gloucester, there's the Fisherman's Memorial that commemorate the thousands of fishermen who have lost their lives. We have memorials everywhere. Whether we love God or not, remembering is important. Remembering the past is important for the health of the future. And that's what we want. We remember the beginnings of this church. There was a desire that this church become a church planting church. We remember that initial desire. And so now, perhaps this might be carried out. We're praying for the Lord's discernment. God delivered Israel safely into the promised land. It's deeply important to know that God keeps his promises. That's what this was about. Those 12 stones was a physical reminder that we passed over the Jordan into God's promises. So we can't forget. And Joshua knows this is important because he, of his own initiative, decides, okay, God commanded us to plant these 12 stones on one side of the Jordan, on the west bank, and he sees an opportunity. It's difficult to build a memorial in the middle of a flooded river. Have any of you ever tried that? It's hard to do. Joshua sees an opportunity. The Jordan is stopped. There's a dry riverbed. And he says, let's plant 12 stones in the middle of the Jordan River. So when our kids say, what are those stones out there? We can tell them. So he takes a little bit of initiative because remembering is important. And in verse 9, Joshua set up 12 stones in the middle of the Jordan in the place where the feet of the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant. What's the point? The Ark of the Covenant. God's promises. It symbolizes God's promises. Do you cherish God's promises? Do you cling to them by faith? Remember what he's done? And they're there to this day. That is the day of the writing of the book of Joshua. Incredibly challenging to build a memorial in the middle of a river. And Joshua says, we want to remember this. Remembering is important. So don't forget. You've got little pieces of paper. Think, pray, what has God done for me? What has God done for this church? Write them down so we can remember. Right where the feast stood, the priest's feet stood. That's where they took those rocks up as a way to remember. God commands us to remember. Deuteronomy 4:9. Take care. Keep your soul diligently, lest you forget the things that your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life. Make them known to your children and your children's children. We have a tendency to forget what God has done for us. Remembering requires diligent work. And we have to be about that work in order to remember what God has done. There's some sort of propensity in our souls that we absent-mindedly forget if we don't have before us all that God has done. And so God plants 12 stones as a continual reminder of the deliverance, the miraculous deliverance that they went through. So Moses is commanding us. We've got to teach our kids. We've got to watch over our souls diligently, putting things before our eyes to remember the reality of our God. Visual memorials help us remember. So we see that everywhere. And in Numbers 15:36, look how important. The Lord said to Moses, speak to the people of Israel and tell them to make tassels on the corners of their garments throughout their generations and to put a cord of blue of the tassel on each corner. And it shall be a tassel for you to look at and to remember all of the commandments of the Lord to do them, not to follow your own heart and your own eyes, which you are inclined to whore after. So you shall remember to do my commandments and be holy to your God. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. The reason for the tassels is a visual reminder for all the commandments of the Lord. God warns against following our own hearts and what we see. We tend to go after what we see. So we have to have visual reminders. Our hearts go where our eyes look. What are you looking at? What's before you? You ask yourself that question. Advertisers know this, don't they? Why else would advertisers spend millions of dollars for a 30-second spot in the middle of a Super Bowl? Because they want you to watch their stuff. Where your eyes are, there your heart follows. What we put before our eyes, we begin to desire. It's a truth about us. Our hearts yearn for what we see. That's why memorials are important. You have to remember where we've been, what's happened to us. There are some benefits of remembering. Psalm 103, David writes, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. It's a good time to add, I so enjoyed singing this morning with all my heart. It was great to hear your voices. It's great to hear people sing like they mean it, and I love it. I was blessed this morning. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits, for who forgives all of your iniquity, heals all of your diseases. He redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy and satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord forgives our iniquities. David just lists it for himself so he can see the benefits of following the Lord. He can heal diseases. He can redeem your life from the pit. He crowns you with steadfast love. Does that renew you? When you think of all that God has done for you, does that renew your heart? Maybe you need renewal this morning. Maybe you're tired and weary. Then pray, God, let me see your beauty. Let me see your reality and be renewed in my heart. We know we have family members who need this, don't we? You've got brother. I have a brother who needs renewal. He needs to be blessed by remembering what God has done. I know God has worked in his life, but he seems to have forgotten it. You have family members who have forgotten, and I beg you not to forget. Don't forget what the Lord has done for you. Because there's a danger in it. There's a great blessing in remembering, but there's great danger in forgetting. How do we forget? Well, we find out in Scripture. It happens when our bellies are full, the barn is full, the house is full, and the wallet is full. When all of this happens, pride is inevitable, and we tend to think, wow, I've done pretty well for myself. He describes it in Deuteronomy 8:11-14. Take care, lest you forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and his rules and his statutes, which I command you today. Lest when you have eaten and you are full and you have built good houses and live in them, when your herds and flocks multiply, your silver and gold is multiplied and all that you have is multiplied, then your heart be lifted up and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. The danger with having abundant blessings is that attendant with those blessings, full bellies, full houses, full wallets, nice stuff, all of those are dangerous because it causes us to think, I did it. We think, I'm the one who gave me the power to get all that I have gotten. And that's not the case. The Lord is gracious in giving us wonderful gifts, but we cannot love the gifts more than we love the giver. So we have warnings. It's God's grace. And look at Deuteronomy 8, 17 and 18. Beware lest you say in your heart, my power and my might, that might of my hand have gotten me this wealth. You shall remember the Lord your God, for it's he who gives you the power to get wealth, that he may confirm his covenant that he swore to your fathers. In other words, God gave the blessings to Israel so that his promises would come true, so that they in turn could be a blessing to all nations and all peoples. The blessings we have are meant to be blessings to others. Are we open-handed with all that we have? That's what God intends. And some of you have lived it out. You're open-handed with blessings, and I praise you. But be careful. Implicit in being blessed is a warning not to love those things more than you love God. Forgetting God is what's the problem. Forgetting God leads to idolatry. When God and his promises are forgotten, we soon forsake him. We turn away and we worship things. And that's the idolatry that God always punishes. So in giving those 12 stones, God is planning a reminder. This is here for you to remember, I got you into this land, not yourselves, not the power of your own might. What do you have before you that reminds you that? What do we have before us that reminds us that our salvation was not from ourselves? I'm not good enough. I haven't done anything to earn it. In fact, one of the things that I do to help me remember that is when somebody says, how are you? I often say, better than I deserve. Because if God gave me what I deserve, I wouldn't be here. And none of us would, because every one of us are sinners. And it often gets very curious responses too. Because people think, yeah, what'd you do this morning? It's a great conversation starter. Deuteronomy 8, 19 and 20. If you forget the Lord your God and you go after other gods and you serve them and worship them, I solemnly warn you, today you shall perish. Like the nations that the Lord makes to perish before you, so you shall perish, because you would not obey the voice of the Lord your God. I share all these verses because I want you to be warned. I don't want any of you to turn away from following the Lord your God. I don't want you to love stuff. And we're in a world full of stuff. And so much, there's so many temptations before us. I don't want you to fall prey to that. I want you to love God with all of your heart. So I beg you, look at your life right now and think, what do I love? Have I forgotten my God? You remember the series on Revelation that you went through. What was one of the problems? You've forsaken your first love. Our God redeemed us. We cannot fall away from that love. Because what happens, if we don't have those reminders, we will fall away. And it happened in Joshua's day. Get to the end of the book, Judges chapter 2. Let me read a few verses. I'll start in verse 7. The people served the Lord all of the days of Joshua and all of the days of the elders who outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great work that the Lord had done. They saw it. Those who witnessed it, they did well. They finished their days in faith. Verse 10, all that generation also were gathered to their fathers. And then there arose another generation after them who did not know the Lord or the work that he had done. That's why. Why didn't they know? Let's keep going. Verse 11. The people of Israel, what's the result of not seeing, not remembering, not knowing? The people of Israel did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, and they served the idols. We forget our God, we serve idols. They served the Baals. They abandoned the Lord, the God of their fathers, who had brought them out of the land of Egypt, and they went after other gods from among the gods of the peoples who were around them. That's what they saw all around them. They saw people worshiping other idols, and they fell into it. It provoked the Lord to anger. They abandoned the Lord and served Baals and Ashtaroth. So the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel, and he gave them over to plunderers who plundered them. He sold them into the hands of their surrounding enemies so that they could no longer withstand their enemies. Whenever they marched out, the hand of the Lord was against them for harm, as the Lord had warned, and as the Lord had sworn to them. And they were in a terrible distress. I don't want you to be in a terrible distress. I don't want our country to be in a terrible distress. So we have to say, What are we worshiping? Who are we serving? That's what happened. When you forget your God, you worship other things. Has the United States forgotten her God? We're not the only ones. I came across this. Callum Brown, a British author, 2001, wrote a book, The Death of Christian Britain. It took several centuries to convert Britain to Christianity, but it has taken less than 40 years for the country to forsake it. In unprecedented numbers, the British people since the 60s have stopped going to church and have allowed their church membership to lapse, stopped marrying in the church, neglected to baptize their children, and meanwhile, their children, the two generations who grew up to maturity in the last 30 years, have stopped going to Sunday school, stopped entering confirmation classes, and rarely, if ever, stepped inside a church to worship. Since then, a formerly religious people have entirely forsaken organized Christianity in a sudden plunge into truly secular condition. It's not just true in Britain. It describes this country, doesn't it? Ruth Gedal also lamented, "There is something unbearably sad about the plight of Christianity in this country. It feels as if the soul of Britain is dying." God gave those commands so that we would avoid his wrath and live with life. But where will we return to our Father? When will this nation return to our God? When will so many nations that have forsaken a God who loves us and redeemed us and delivered us, when will we return to him? Pray for this. So how do we avoid it? We've got to repeat this stuff to our kids. We have to teach a new generation that God is real and he is alive. That's the point. Verse 6 and 7. "This will be a sign among you. When your children ask in the time to come, 'What do these stones mean?' Then you shall tell them, 'The waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord, and when it passed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. So these stones will be to the people of Israel a memorial forever.' The pile of 12 stones are to be a sign among them." Not some static pile of rocks. It's to be a living testimony. That's to be an example for every parent when you're passing by, strolling through the fields, and you see this pile of rocks. Kids will ask those questions, won't they? I mean, when you see rocks piled up on top of each other, do you think, well, they did that? Your kids will say, somebody did that. I mean, rocks don't naturally pile upon themselves in a shape. So, Dad, why is that there? And then parents, we have to be able to explain why they're there. Are you ready for that? Just this week, it's interesting to me. It amazes me how often sermons that I'm planning, God gives me a little insight into what's happening at home. My daughter's reading Exodus chapter 27. Which describes in exquisite detail the breastplate that the priest is to wear with the 12 stones and the rope that goes around the neck and all the gold. She read all that and she said, "Daddy, I don't get it. What is this? What are they talking about?" So we sat down and read it. Dads, are you sitting down and reading with your kids? It doesn't matter how old they are. If fathers, if you think I've failed, and maybe you need to go home and grab your daughter if she's 27 years old or 47 or 2 and start reading again. Do we need to read the scripture in our homes together as families? We do. We need to teach our children how to understand. And remember who the Bible was written to? Just plain folk. Fishermen. So read it. Ask the Lord for understanding. Come here and we'll share together and help each other. But kids are going to ask questions. And there's a great opportunity when those kind of things happen, you have the opportunity to teach. What are you going to tell them? What are you going to tell them about the miracle of the deliverance? This is commanded in Scripture that we teach our children. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. And you shall talk about them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up." When does teaching should occur? When should it occur? Every time, all the time of the day, when you lie down, when you tell stories at night, tell children about the faithfulness of the Lord. When you wake up, tell stories about the faithfulness of the Lord. When you're strolling down the sidewalk, tell your children the stories of the Lord. All the time we need to be teaching. And verse 22, as we look back at Joshua 4 now, we need to teach our children. Here's what he says. You shall let your children know Israel passed over this Jordan on dry ground, for the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan for you until you passed over, as the Lord your God did at the Red Sea, which he dried up for us until we passed over, so that all the peoples of the earth may know that the hand of the Lord is mighty, that you should fear the Lord your God forever. The word in verse 22 that's translated for to know, it should cause your children to know. I don't know how to pronounce it in Hebrew. We have somebody who could tell us. But it means to cause to know. It's a form of a word that means to know, not just with an intellectual sense, but with an experiential sense. You know it with your head, and you know it with your heart. No wonder people don't believe we're telling the truth. We aren't affected by it. Our hearts aren't moved for what God has done for us. When you hear somebody tell a story that they are into and believe, you can tell when they're real, when it's with a passion that comes from their heart. Do we proclaim what God has done for us in our lives with that kind of enthusiasm? That's the command here is, you tell them in such a way that they feel it. The reason Israel forgot their God is they weren't successful in transferring that knowledge, but also communicating the heart. And that's exactly what we see here. And there's a subtle shift in this verse from the you that Joshua is talking about to the us. Joshua begins in this last verse to speak about what God did for him. He said, you passed over. You saw this. He did the same thing for me. When we passed through the Red Sea, he did it for us. If you have never experienced God in your life, then I ask you to pray and ask him to reveal himself to you. Do you sense that? God's done something for me? He saved me, but yes, there are some other things that God has done for me. Pray, ask him, seek him with all of your heart. You know, the Bible says, if you seek the Lord with all of your heart, you will find him. Are you seeking him? Ask him to reveal himself to you. I beg you. And what's the reason? The very last verse says, God did all of this so that all the peoples of the earth may know that the hand of the Lord is mighty. God had a global reason for drying up the Red Sea. He had a global reason for parting the Jordan River. It was meant for the benefit of Israel, but it was meant to go far beyond that. And just like Rahab, when people hear that, it's to bring salvation. The blessings that come to your life are meant for you personally. I believe that with all my heart. God means to bless you personally. But also beyond that, you better open your mouth wide and share the reason that God has blessed you so that all of the nations of the earth can be blessed. And we have all nations all around us. Look around. Just look in the congregation this morning. Boston can touch the world. Winchester can touch the world if we will open our mouths. Are we sharing the good things that God has done for us? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I pray that personally you will touch us, that you will grant us faith, and I ask that you would move in our lives, reveal yourself to us in a new and fresh way. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.